got a crazy ass true story to tell. It could be funny or thrilling or creepy as hell. And when you speak, surely none will make a sound. And the world's going breathless when your true story comes around.
All right, welcome to Your Best True Story Podcast. FCAT, are you excited to start a new venture?
This is so different and awesome. I can't wait.
So with this being our inaugural episode, just going to give a quick, real quick overview again of kind of how this show is formatted. It's basically asking audience members to call in and tell us their best true story. It can be on any subject matter, any genre, from ghost stories to paranormal to funny stories to how you caught your husband or wife cheating on you. Doesn't really matter. Just as long as it's interesting, then we play it on the air. After, we will listen to the stories. We've got five of them today to play, Freddie. And then we're going to kind of, these stories I've already heard, but FCAT has not yet. So he'll hear them for the first time, give his take on them, explore any interesting ideas in them. What I think is a cool thing that we're doing a little bit different from other call-in shows, I think, is each month, once we go through, say we have this month two or three episodes, at the end of the month, the start of next month, February, for 1 week on the yourbesttruestory.com website, there's going to be audience voting for whichever story was their favorite of all the ones in January. Whoever wins that, whatever caller wins that, will win $250. Invitation to come on the show and be interviewed about their story and experiences.
I like where this is going.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So should be pretty interesting. And now what we're going to do is go ahead and get into, we've got five calls for this episode. Most of them have a little bit of a paranormal spin to them, I'd say. There's one that isn't at all, but is still pretty interesting. But to start off with, it is going to be our first guest is named Bob Sarantino, and he is actually the podcast host of Italian Roots and Genealogy, which I'm going to put a link to his show in the show notes as well. And he's kind of got, it's a quick call, a few minutes, but he's got four kind of paranormal incidences that he wants to tell us about. And so now we will give the floor to Bob Sarantino, and here we go.
My first paranormal experience was back in 1970 when my best friend was killed in an automobile accident. I was pretty shattered by this event and was not getting over it. About 2 weeks after his burial, I woke up one night and I looked at the foot of my bed and he was standing there. And first I thought I was sleeping, but I wasn't. And he was transparent and he didn't speak, but almost like a ESP kind of thing, he gave me the signal that he was okay. And that I needed to get over it. And from that point on, I was fine. And it was the most peaceful, relaxing experience that I ever had in my life. 1 year, when my wife's mom passed away, she had always asked her mother, who was a twin, and whose twin sister had passed away when she was a teenager, to give her a signal, if she could. And when we came back from the hospital, and as soon as my wife walked into the bathroom, we had three lights over the mirror. As soon as she switched the light on, the bulbs on either end blew out simultaneously. And we can only take that as being the signal. another interesting story from my wife, when she was about 14 herself and lived in New York City, they heard a woman in the courtyard calling my mother-in-law's name, Josephine, over and over and over again. She said it was a very strange, eerie kind of noise. And they looked out into the courtyard and they saw what looked like to be an old Italian woman, typical, with a black dress and a bun in her hair and everything, calling my mother-in-law's name very eerily. And for probably about a minute or so, maybe more, and they finally closed the blinds and walked away, and the apparition disappeared. I also have several stories from my genealogy interviews. One, I think, of the most interesting ones, because I believe that nothing happens by accident. One of the more interesting ones was the story about a client of a genealogy friend of mine. And as they were walking through the hometown, an old lady asked, "Who are you?" And he explained who he was and gave the name. And she reached into a pocket and pulled out an old key and said, "Come with me." And she took them over to a little chapel dedicated to St. Lucy, Santa Lucia, and told the person to go in there. And once he went in, around the statue, there were hundreds of items that people would send to honor Santa Lucia. And she told him that what he's supposed to do is pick up one of these items and hold it to his eyes, because Santa Lucia is the patron saint of eyes, and he would get a blessing. So at random, he picked up an item, put it up to his eyes, and he exclaimed, "I don't believe this." And Alessandra said, "What don't you believe?" And he said, "This item was sent by my great-grandparents." So, coincidence? Hard to say, but probably not.
So, what do you think, Freddie?
Well, that was a cornucopia of tales.
Yep.
Like, there's a lot to take in there. The first one I liked, he got his peace of mind when his apparition friend showed up and said, "Don't worry about it, chill out, everything's good." That's a nice ending. Let's see, the one with the woman, I'm interested to see how many of the people in that story heard the voice from outside in the courtyard.
Yeah.
Was it like more than one, or was it just one?
It sounded like, the way I took it was, it was his mother-in-law and his wife when she was younger. So two people. But to me, go ahead.
Yeah. No, that was interesting. If like two people are hearing the voice and then they see an apparition and then it disappears, that's pretty crazy.
All right. So I got a question about that one, because the more kind of shocking stories to me would be the first and the last one. The two, I'm quick to dismiss. Like
number two, I would just they're
electrical
looking,
stuff.
Well, yeah. They're looking for science. So anything abnormal, is, you know. And I hope they got the bathroom checked, because the house might catch on fire. But you know, so that one, I would slide that one across and be like, okay, let's take that one out of the mix, because you were looking for the sign. And
I never, whenever people reference like electronical events, as like, to me, like all like electricity, technology, it can all do weird stuff at any time.
It like, can, unless you had like a super specific message.
Yeah.
You know, like I was like, why is he telling me about the twin thing? Because it wasn't, but I guess they're correlating the two light bulbs going out.
I didn't even
both of them, because the other twin was she only lasted till, you know, her teens or something like that. That one, it seemed like they might have looked for, and I the next thing that happened could have been the sign also.
Yeah,
the two rakes fell over at the garage.
Exactly.
You know, sort of
like a case of pareidolia or whatever that word is, where you're finding patterns in stuff
that
you're looking for.
Yeah. The last one I'm confused as far, the item he picked up was his grandparents or great-grandparents?
So, yeah. So basically it was, which this was the most fascinating story to me, because like I do see stuff like this as kind of confirmation there's a bigger picture thing going on in the universe, is when stuff defies just...
the mathematics.
Yeah.
Of random.
Yep. Because he is apparently, I don't think if, I'm not sure if Bob stated this explicitly, but I believe that guy that he was talking about was in Italy, like maybe on a trip or something, that he met this woman who took him to the shrine to St. Lucia and then told him, yeah, what you're supposed to do at this shrine is to pick up, you know, objects and put them to your eyes because St. Lucia is the patron saint of eyesight. And when he did that, out of hundreds of these items already being donated around the shrine, the one that he picked up was something that was he somehow identified as being put there by his grandparents.
How did they know?
I don't know. We gotta... Maybe if Bob wins, bring him on to explain
it. Really, Bob, on the details.
Yeah, because that's the only problem with it going quick and multiple stories is, that probably...
Yeah, I would have liked to just a little bit more on the item.
Yeah.
So I could, you know, make a mental picture of what was it, an old boot that his, you know, great-grandfather wore in the wartime and his name is on the inside of it, you know, or some, like, what?
Yeah.
What was the item?
Yeah.
I'm left hanging, Bob.
Yeah. And the one thing I would, going back to the third story about the apparition, he didn't give any insight into or details about why they thought it was an apparition. And the whole thing I was thinking was if it did just look like a strange woman standing in the yard yelling Josephine, or I mean, that could just be a crazy person. Like, as long as they didn't
did
see
it disappear,
it,
like,
it
around the corner?
Yeah, or they just walked away, because that's just a map.
You know, was it like a hologram getting turned off?
That's
like,
just a...
It's all right, because Bob was the first guy, you know, to throw a story down, so I'm not ripping him. We just need a little bit more detail and maybe elongate some of the essence of the story so we can get a better mental picture on the other end.
Yep.
But, you know, good job.
Yeah. So thank you very much, Bob, and we will put a link in the show notes to Bob's own podcast, Italian Roots and Genealogy, so check him out. And now things are about to get weirder, Freddie, with a second caller who is anonymous, and he does mention a Bob in this. I don't think it's the same Bob as we just heard from.
All right.
But...
I wipe my slate clean of Bob's.
Yeah, and this story is longer. This is over 10 minutes long, but, and I gave it, he is anonymous calling in, and the title I gave to the call is Bad Date Witch.
Sweet.
All right, here we go. From Anonymous in Parts Unknown.
Love the concept of the new show, so wanted to call in and tell you at least the weirdest story that I've got to see if maybe it's good enough to be played on the show. And honestly, I'd kind of love to hear your take on it, on what you think, because this is a story without a better term for it. It's a story about a witch. and I don't really believe in witches. So that's why I'm interested in telling it to you to see what you guys think, if this is kind of proof that there might be something real sometimes going on, because it's actually a pretty creepy and honestly kind of sad story. It involves my brother-in-law, the brother of my wife, and not only should I remain anonymous, but I'm going to call him Bob, which isn't his real name, but he's dead now. And so, out of respect to my wife, his sister, their family, I'm going to try and keep this as generic as possible on the actual people involved. So anyway, this happened a few years ago, and to really understand it, you've got to understand that Bob was a little bit of a fuck up, kind of a weird mixture of a guy. He had kind of like movie star Tom Cruise looks on the outside, but inside was a nervous, introverted wreck, believe it or not. So he probably drank too much. He took all kinds of different pharmaceutical pills to help his quote-unquote anxiety that most likely even just made his thinking and everything worse. But all of that said, chicks still threw themselves at him because of the way he looked. He could never keep a relationship going for very long once they got to know him, or him dumping them for weird reasons. But at the beginning, he had no problems. He was the guy that when you're in the bar, the women would just one after another hot model chicks come up to him and just be blatantly waiting for him to take them home. And which he did. Lots of times, but then, like I said, it typically like blow up in his face. But anyway, I didn't know Bob that well. I mainly hung out with him like every couple of months or so, just to keep my sister happy, because he had a real problem with keeping normal guy friends. So one night we're at a sports bar. I'm doing my kind of like, couple of month duty of having a few beers with Bob, watching some games. And we're sitting there at the bar. I'm only about two beers in when a pretty attractive older chick, now I mean like super older, I just mean like she was 40, but still very attractive, looked, you know, like she was probably a smoke show only about 5 years ago. Now maybe had a little bit of crow's feet, but was still, you know, beautiful, long black hair. Kind of had a look like she looked maybe Native American or European, Russian maybe, something. There was a little bit of a different look to her. And so immediately she doesn't even notice me, of course, but just beelines it to Bob. Tom Cruise looking Bob sitting there sipping his Miller Lite at the bar, and starts hitting on him. And because I didn't really love hanging out with Bob that much, I was like encouraged him to take off with her. And so I got out of my duties for that night. Looking back on it, I honestly kind of feel bad about that, as well as not taking some of his concerns that come up later on that seriously before the really bad stuff happened. So anyway, so Bob and this woman, which I never even knew her name, and if he told me, I don't even remember what it was, but they take off. And so I think, great, I go home. I think it was 3 days later, Bob gives me a call and wants to meet up at the same sports bar. And since my wife had been a little ticked off at me and how quick I had come home after meeting Bob the other time, and because there was a hockey game I wanted to see on TV at the bar that night, I decided to go ahead and bite the bullet and meet back up with Bob again. So we start having a couple beers, and of course I ask him how things went with the chick from a couple nights earlier. And he said that it was great, it was fine, he banged her. But then, of course, the way Bob does, and she, you know, he had already made some excuse of why he had already kicked her to the curb, and he was saying it was because she was too tall, which she was basically the same height as him, like 5'10 or so. She wasn't like super tall, but all, you know, a little taller, but nothing, definitely had the looks to carry it off. So anyway, so Bob, explains he's already, slept with her and gotten rid of her, told her in no uncertain terms he doesn't want to see her anymore. So, whatever, we're watching hockey. About 30 minutes later, this same chick comes storming into the bar right up to Bob and starts, like, what I assume is swearing or cursing at him in a language that I have never heard before. I don't know if it was Native American or Slavic or, Russian or something like that. It was very thick and guttural and angry, and her face looked angry, and she was basically, you could just tell without understanding the words, she was chewing him out. And then she ends it after about a minute with taking her hand or left hand and making a motion over his eyes and forehead, sort of like a couple of weird gestures I can really describe, and then like an X through the air over his forehead and eyes. And then she gets a sinister looking smile and gleam in her eyes as she looks at both me and him, and then says, "Dead in a week." And then she walks out. That was the only thing she said, and like English, was "dead in a week" after making that freaky sign over his forehead, and storms out. And so we're like, holy crap. And start nervously laughing our asses off about that. Actually kind of made me warm up to Bob for the first time in a while. So I had definitely a bonding experience. And so we go on with the night. Eventually we talk about one more, but we keep drinking, watching hockey. And eventually after the game, I end up heading home. Don't think much about it until I think it was only either 1 or 2 days after that, Bob calls his sister, completely freaking out, saying that he thinks people are following him. Now, again, Bob's history is he takes way too many pharmaceutical drugs. He's anxious and neurotic anyway. He drinks too much. He's always making bad decisions. He's had some run-ins with the law, things like that. So we don't think much of it, of he's actually being followed. I wasn't in on that conversation. It was just my wife speaking to him, calming him down. But what she described is she said that for the past day, he was saying that everywhere he went, he pretty was sure that people, like different people, were following him and staring at him oddly, like in stores, from around corners of buildings, slowing down as they drove past in a car, looking at him weird. She calmed him down, said, he was need to take some more anti-anxiety medicine and slow down on the drinking and sleep. So we think that's the end of it. The next day, he says that, he leaves a voicemail for my wife, just sounding very panicked and saying that they are still after him and they're in the shadows, which we still don't know exactly what that means, but he said they're in the shadows, they're everywhere, they're hiding everywhere, they can see me even when I sleep. It didn't sound like he had been to sleep, but he sounded really freaked out, where she started to get very panicked, started to call his phone, he didn't pick up. That went on for several hours, probably about 12 hours before she made me get up in the middle of the night to go over to Bob's apartment, because she still hadn't heard from him. And this is like midnight, but she decides she wants me to get up, go over there, knock on his door, check on him, make sure he's okay. I go over there, knock on his door, no answer. Nothing looks wrong, not like a break-in, anything like that. So I go back, I couldn't see anything through the window. He never picked up, never answered. I go back, I tell her we're going to call the cops in the morning to go do like a wellness check on him, but just try and rest through the night, that he's probably, drunk, sleeping one off, and we'll take care of it in the morning. So in the morning, we do that. We call the local police at 8 a.m., asking them to send a patrol car out there to check on Bob. We give him his whole physical description and his accurate name and everything. Once we give that information, they're immediately like, I'm sorry, sir, I've got some bad news for you. They say his real name, but they say Bob at around 4 in the morning just ran out into traffic. People say that he looked like he was running from something, but he ran out into traffic in front of a very large semi-truck and got hit. And the weird thing was that was when that happened was 6 days after that strange woman said dead in a week. So I don't know what it means. It's still to this day freaks me out. I haven't explained that part of the woman to my wife because I don't want her to make... At this point, their family just thinks he was on drugs and made some bad decisions, which probably was the case. But it's pretty bizarre that that chick, whatever she did, that anyone could call, predict someone's death in under a week like that and or cause it. So I'd love to hear what you guys think. Is that proof she was a witch or not? Loved her comments. Hopefully it can be used on the show. And best of luck with the show. Excited to hear everybody's true stories. Thanks.
It was, for me, it was a little throwing me off the background music.
Oh, well, I put that.
Oh, well, then I blame that guy for the background
music. Oh, no. I put that.
What? I'm like, who...
Okay. Oh, okay. No. Because I'd already listened to it. Just thought it'd be a little spookier.
Well, no, the whole time I'm like, I'm trying to decipher how this guy is telling this story and has time to edit in background music to make it spookier. So I'm going to blame you then for that because it changed my perspective of this guy from...
Oh. Gotcha.
Authentic to, showman.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, who puts spooky background sounds to their true story? His voice is awesome. I'm like, this guy probably does voiceovers. Yeah. He had a really cool vibe. But yeah, you totally ruined my experience of that story, Jim.
Oh, I'll have to remember that.
I
don't think I did that for any of the other calls. I think I did that. Well, because it was going on for a long time, so I just thought I'd add a little spookiness. I might have done it to another one, but I can't remember.
Watch out, because Jim will just knee you.
Okay. I won't do that. There will be no noises.
Because the authenticity of in the voice was good, and then the music started. I'm like, wait a second.
Gotcha.
At first I'm like, okay, this guy's got a cool voice. He's doing a great job describing things.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, is this a bit feedback in my mic? And I'm like, there's some like violin happening in the background. I'm like, oh, this guy's really just good at doing.
That's the way that people call in. They get a violin. They're up like in a tower in a castle and start calling into radio shows.
Mr. Anonymous, I believe that Jim owes you a complete do-over because he totally shanked you.
Well, try and back out that part of it.
Okay. It's hard. All right. Yeah. So, no. I can't. It's such a hard time because I was trying to focus, but at the same time. No, I'm trying to, like, I was putting the two together as it's unfolding, and I'm like, there's still music. Like,
yeah.
It, like, how long is the, is it going to, like, is it going to be a jump scare at the end? Like, you know, it became a cartoon.
Yeah.
And I really feel bad for Anonymous Guy, because I think I totally went at it in the wrong, from the wrong frame of mind, based on the theatrics.
Well, all right. Well, it is an interesting story, though. If you didn't get fixated.
Yeah, okay. So if the Bob...
Fascinating. I mean, completely could be a coincidence.
Let me try and... you talk for a second while I try to retool and do... Listen to that story.
Well, what I think is interesting about it is that what I took from it is... So it is pretty coincidental that somebody, anybody would say, you're going to be dead in a week. To anyone, and then they actually die within a week. That's pretty freaking crazy. Doesn't necessarily mean that that woman actually caused it, but that again sort of breaks past the probabilities to me to mean that either she caused it, or maybe she, you know, maybe there's something bigger going on in the universe where she could sense he was going to be dead in a week, or you could look at it from the perspective of the guy, Bob, mm-hmm. once was in such a disheveled middle state that once she said that, it got into his brain,
yeah,
and he
just
killed him.
Happen.
Yeah, made it happen.
That was an easy out for him. He's like, oh, I got to be dead in a week.
Or either he's just completely paranoid. Yeah, and was got so scared about it happening that he actually self-fulfilling caused it just by getting more and more erect.
I like the character of Bob in the beginning, you know, and his character development with somebody who would go home with a super hot chick. Well, even though she was slightly older, but super hot earlier on in her life, and then find, you know, the reason that once he slept with her, she's no good anymore and he's got to get rid of her, and because of her height is funny, I thought. But 5'10 is pretty tall for a chick, because you got to add in heels. You have to add in at least 3 to 4 inch heels on, you know, if you're going to take her out a date or something like that. So then now you're looking up. Which, like,
so what are you saying, Frey? That forgives her going around and killing?
No, he seemed like a narcissist that was, you know, just like the character described, that somebody would do that. The height thing being just a random, like, a floofy way of, you know, I'm on to the next one.
Yeah.
And stuff. And her being Latin, or I got more of a Latin vibe from what he was saying than American Indian, but if that's what he was describing. But I could see him being hot-headed and telling you you'll be dead in a week. And maybe she's into voodoo or Santeria.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. You know?
So this does, and one thing that I have wondered about before, so I lean kind of like on the spiritual side, and as I go on in life, get more and more convinced that is the true paradigm, involves like a spiritual aspect to the universe. Not going to say that I know what exactly that rule book or playbook is, but that's where it gets interesting to me. The idea of curses is... I have a hard time believing that if there's a God, a just God, that has created the framework to all of this, that people can go around and put curses on each other. Because that just seems to be like you're cheating. Like you're basically... But the thing is, if you look at every single religious or spiritual tradition, they almost all believe in some aspect that people can curse other people. And it just,
yeah,
like,
I think
why
it's gonna go. I think it's gonna go back to what one of our original thoughts is that it, because it's a free will, you know.
Yeah, but the
hologram we're going. But if
that's
you have to
supersede your free will.
No, you have to agree to it. If somebody puts a hex on you and you don't give it any power,
yeah,
I don't think it works.
See, all right, so that makes more sense to me.
Yeah,
but
he brought it and agreed.
Like in Islam, I was actually reading about this, the concept of the evil eye, which gets, you know, used just in secular terms also. And like, but in Islam, that's a big thing. Like they, on in some divisions of Islam, sects of Islam, they believe that that's like a really, not only can somebody put the evil eye on you, but then you, if you've got bad intentions in your heart, can actually put the evil eye on other people without even intending to.
Ah.
Because there's so much interconnection between. But that's just a bizarre concept when it starts to get that, like, because then, like, what's the, I mean, that's scary as shit. If it's, if people that you don't even know or have much interaction with can just put a curse on.
Well, I guess maybe part of you is awake and, you know, and experience this part. Maybe another part of you that's asleep can see all that energy transferring one or another. And maybe at some other level you're agreeing to things. Not on this conscience level that you're at right now, the what you can perceive, but maybe in, you know, a second layer of yourself that's like, yeah, let's play that out, see how that goes.
Yeah.
You know? And then going back to the very beginning of the story, I don't, like, what? She kind of asked for it also. Like, why did she come up and just try and seduce Bob? Like, you know, who does that?
Who, I don't know.
The witch. Oh,
yeah. Random women and, yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, like, she just came in and picked Bob out. He's just slumped over the bar drinking his Miller Lite and like, yeah, that's the guy for me. I got it totally.
So do you think witches are real?
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Like, it would be so boring without all these extra layers of things.
Yeah.
Like, they're all dragons, fairies, underground people, other levels. Like, I mean, the ocean, everything. They're all there.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's not just white bread and peanut butter, Jim. I'm sure there's levels to everything, and you can find, which one are you going to give your attention to?
Yeah.
What are you going to allow to be around?
Well, that, it is pretty fascinating, the idea that, all right, so there's definitely people that think they're witches. Like people that you could probably just, we could probably walk out in the street or go to a bar and talk to enough random hippie chicks and you would run into somebody who claims they're a witch and thinks they are. And so to me, the fascinating thing is like, if that, so either that ability or knowledge exists or not, which it probably might. And then it's just an aspect of like how all those people that think they're witches, 90% of them probably don't know what the hell they're doing.
But well, I don't got think like there's a guide. There is a guide, but I think it's kind of a subjective thing, like what your definition of a witch might be versus what their definition of a witch might be. And somebody like, probably people way back when they used to burn them were like, oh, you didn't get the black plague, witch.
Yeah.
You know, like the criteria for being labeled a witch is really fuzzy. Like, oh, you understand how the stars move? Witch. Like, you know, oh, you can heal yourself with herbs from the land? Witch.
What is Monty Python, the Holy Grail? Or maybe that was Life of Brian, the old movie where they tie a carrot to the chick's nose.
Yeah, so
but you get that as proof.
You have your version of witch, you've got their version of witch, then you've got a societal, that's no, they're witches, version of witches. Like, there's so much gray area here, like, even to define what a witch is, you know, it's getting hard.
Well, hopefully we can have a witch call in and explain to us about witching, where the, what the proper coursework is. Certifications, how you officially get a witch.
Witches and bad, because the witch of the east and the witch of the west.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Well, if there's a witch, if there are witches, then there'd have to be better and worse witches. And that's like with Navajo, the idea of skinwalkers, which I'm sure you've heard of. That's basically like the black witch version of their shamans. Like, so they've got both. They've got the shamans that help people.
Mm-hmm.
But then if they go to the dark side, they become a skinwalker.
So based on what energy they're projecting?
Well, but it is also going back to the free will thing. They got to make an active choice to
experience
that.
Yeah, I get it.
To be a skinwalker.
Somebody's got to be the bad witch.
Yeah.
You know, if we're having this duality thing.
Yeah.
You know, can't be all good witches because you have nothing to reference it against.
Well, hopefully we'll get a good witch and a bad witch calling. Although, don't put a curse on me. I don't.
You're just asking.
No, I don't want a curse.
You just did it. Wow.
That's it. Definitively, I didn't want it. But
the universe doesn't hear the word no, Jim. It's where your attention goes. Your attention just went on getting a curse.
All right. Well, we got to move on to the next call so that I don't bring a curse on myself. All right. So the next call is from a woman named Sharon in Maryland. And she is going to tell us about Ringo. Sharon, you have the floor.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to call in and tell you a quick, cute story that hopefully you like enough to put on the air. And maybe even your audience will like it enough to vote it the winner. But if not, hopefully it's still entertaining. It's about my next door neighbor's dog, Ringo. He was an Australian Shepherd. And if you don't know much about Australian Shepherds, they're one of the world's smartest dogs. And you can even pull up old videos with Oprah having an Australian Shepherd on her show that had a vocabulary of like 200 words where they would say, name an object, and the dog would go and pull that object out of a big bin. And so my neighbors tried for a couple of years to teach Ringo to spell out words with a Scrabble board set using the wooden pieces, each letter to spell out things like food or water or ball. But my understanding is it didn't work real well, that Ringo never really learned how to spell words. And over the same time period, Ringo had the habit of coming to my back door. And whenever I was making ham sandwiches for my boys' lunch at school, Ringo would come to the back door on the porch and wait, and I would go out and I would give Ringo a piece of ham and say, "Hi, Ringo, here's your ham. Hi, Ringo, here's your ham." Day after day, he just knew the right time, and I would always say that and give him a piece of ham. So eventually, though, the neighbors realize I'm doing this, and they ask me to not give ham to Ringo because it's human food. And I actually didn't know that was even bad, but I immediately stopped and I didn't give him any more ham. After I had stopped, though, for several days, Ringo would keep coming to the door waiting patiently. I would ignore him. And finally, one day, he comes to the kitchen door on the porch and I hear something clatter and Ringo has dropped something on the porch. I go out and I see, to my complete shock, three Scrabble pieces with the letters H, A, M. Ringo had spelled out the word ham. And just for the record, I still didn't give him any ham, but I picked up the Scrabble pieces and excitedly ran across the yard to my neighbor's house and was shouting, "Look, look. Ringo knows how to spell ham. Ringo knows how to spell ham." Well, the neighbors either thought I was crazy or just making it up to try to keep giving Ringo ham. So we quickly kind of reached an impasse and no longer spoke about it. And Ringo never did it again. But I promise you, for one afternoon, that dog knew how to spell ham. That's my story. Hopefully you like it, and I'm very excited about your show.
Freddie?
Why wouldn't they give him the ham? He's like, he went and looked up how to spell ham and then brought the letters and
And then she had turned on him, wouldn't even give man after that.
Like,
so that's probably why he never
betrayal.
Yeah, that's why he never spelled it again, because he couldn't get any.
No, I've had contact with Australian shepherds, and they're insanely like brilliant.
They
almost have people eyes.
Yeah, I looked up because I kind of vaguely, I think I remember what she was talking about, the Oprah episode, or seeing clips of that. And I didn't look that up, but somehow stumbled across an article about, and maybe this is actually the same dog. There's a dog named Chaser that was a border collie that was owned by a psychiatrist. I think he's dead now, like died several years ago. But Chaser had a documented vocabulary of like over 1,000 human words that they could basically say, you know, anything like some sort of hat, or say like Chaser would run and get it, but like 1,000 different items like that.
Yeah, I've seen them on the TikToks with the dogs and pigs where they set up the buttons where you record the word and they're like, you know, I want a treat, man. You know,
it says
treat. Like, you can't have a treat. You just had a treat. And it looks at him and it goes back over and presses treat. But this one where he has to actually get pieces out of a Scrabble game and spell word. Yeah. That's asking a lot. Like,
poor Ringo, he was motivated. He wanted that freaking ham. And then
friend across the street because the parents, you know, whoever was his owner was this dictator.
Yeah.
Wouldn't let him have ham.
We need to get Ringo to call in and hear his side of the whole thing. How everybody, dictator, he was betrayed by his one friend. He's never wanted to play Scrabble again.
No, it's just like, I feel like it's like a government, you know, you move to another country and then all of a sudden they're just there on your doorstep like, oh, you didn't get anywhere.
Yeah.
Long arm of the law. No ham for you. That's a sad, that was sad. Yeah. It's just a sad tale.
Well, Ringo, if you're out there, call in, man. We'll listen to you. We'll give you some ham.
Let's start a GoFundMe for some
for Ringo. For the ham for Ringo.
We just mail him random hams if she wants to say.
That would be awesome.
We'll address it to the dog, and she just wants to slide us the address. You can just put it on the link under the video, and people can mail him at least some treats or something. I feel
bad. That'd be hysterical if there's a GoFundMe for somebody's dog and people just around the country start mailing him ham.
Start mailing him two
dog
treats, ham.
All right, so that was Ringo, and now we're moving back on to another weird one. And so you prepared, FCAT? This is going to get into...
Well, did you add music to this one?
I don't think so.
Okay.
So this one's pretty, hopefully I didn't, because this one's pretty weird. So,
all right, okay.
Don't want to ruin it
for you. Do you have to announce who it's
from? Oh, yeah. It's Eli from Montana. And, well, I'll just say, have you ever heard of the concept of not deer?
Not deer, no.
All right, here we go. Eli, you have the floor.
So, I'll know if I'm doing this right, but I figured I'd call in more as a warning to people than anything else. So, my name's Eli, and I've been a hunter and out in the woods for over 30 years, all around the Kalispell, Whitefish, Montana area near the Canadian border. And so, most cryptid things, and in my opinion, like Bigfoot, dogmen, whatever you want to call them, you know, the sheep monster, all that kind of ridiculousness, all that stuff's bullshit. Those people are either misidentifying things or just making stuff up, or maybe they're crazy. I don't know. I've never seen any of that stuff out in the woods. But one thing I wanted to tell is about a cryptid that's real and that people need to watch out for. So hopefully maybe this will save somebody's life, because if you haven't heard of not deer, those things are real. And I think I've got an actual explanation of what they are for people. I'll tell you the story of how I came across one. So basically, as out bow hunting, way out probably 20 plus miles from the nearest road or town, hear the sort of wheezing, rasping thing off to my left. I turn. There's a grove of trees down at the base of this ridge. And all of a sudden, a fucking monster-sized deer, huge rack of antlers, comes bursting out of the woods straight at me. And luckily, I'm a hunter. I've got to have my bow on me. I put a bolt right between the thing's eyes because it was far enough away and dropped it. And but that thing was trying to attack me. I'm sure of it. And it was not acting like a deer. For anyone that has seen these things before, they're lots of times they're sort of wasting away. They become predatory. They've got a very wild, kind of aggressive hunter's panicked, aggressive predator look in their eyes. And obviously they've lost all their fear of humans. And the Native Americans up here have a term for it, which I can't remember, that they used to describe as when the world would start to go wrong, that this evil spirit, the same spirit that would create, turn tribes people into the Wendigo, could infect the deer and turn the deer into predatory creatures. And so that's the Native American legend. Take that for what you will. But what I think it is, or what some other people believe it is as well, is a version of mad cow disease that could periodically crop up. And when it infects the deer, it almost makes them kind of zombie-like and extremely aggressively predatory carnivores, where they'll even try and eat humans on four of the first stages of the disease. Eventually, as they're not good at hunting naturally, and they're probably not catching enough meat to sustain themselves. I don't even know if their bodies can process it correctly, but whatever that hunger is in them leaves them eventually starving. So they start to waste away more and more, get clumsier and clumsier as the brain wasting disease works its way through their brain. And so eventually, if you come across one in the earliest stages, they might try to attack and kill you. If you come across them in the later stages, they're just going to look like the scariest thing you've ever seen, with probably bone showing through their wasting away skin, wild eyes, blood and snot coming out of their nose and mouth, stumbling around, making very weird noises. If you see these things at any stage, stay the hell away from them. I don't know if they can infect humans. With the one that I killed, which I recommend everybody just kill them if you can. And then I burned the carcass. Definitely don't eat the meat. Anyway, my name's Eli from Kalispell, Montana area, and hopefully maybe this will save somebody's life. Thanks.
Don't eat the meat. I think that's a good rule, Freddie.
Yeah.
But I'm going to point out something that before I get your take on it. So if you look up not deer,
mm-hmm.
it's all over the place on the internet. There's a Reddit forum that's uh-huh. dedicated to not deer. There's a online magazine called notdeer.com. And I'm gonna read to you a description of what notdeer.com describes. Oh shoot, no, I'm not. Internet's not working. But it's apparently a thing. Mainly out of Appalachia.
I've heard a version of that like before. That when they're overpopulated, that this seems to happen. In my head, I'm jumping towards those bugs. Like, you ever seen some of the videos of bug and there's literally half of it is missing, but the thing is crawling along the ground, and it is some type of fungus.
Parasite, yeah.
Like a parasite fungal. Or a fungus, yeah. That's just operating the insect.
Yeah.
It sounds like that to me.
That's what the video game they made into an HBO show, The Last of Us, the one came out like a year ago or mm-hmm. two, I think, and that... The thing that turns people into zombies, it's that fungus.
Yeah.
That it basically mutates to be able to infect humans.
And then,
so that's like a real thing. So it's also brain wasting. I also have
flashbacks of some videos of like meth addicts, or maybe it's not meth.
In Miami.
Where they literally have holes in their arms, like bones showing, like open wounds and you know, kind of oblivious to it all, like they have a hand that's swelled up the size of a basketball, but just keep on, you know, going.
Did you you remember in Miami back a few years ago when
bath salts? Yeah,
and they were turning people into cannibals.
Yeah, I don't think it's bath salts though.
Yeah,
that seems weird.
The deer wouldn't have gotten into bath salts.
Nah, there's probably the CIA doing some testing of some frequency weapon on random homeless people.
Yeah.
To see what kind of effect they can get.
Oh, you don't think the cannibalism was bath salts?
No, I don't think bath salts have anything to do with anything. I think that they got either laced something, or you know, they're trying out some sort of weapon on somebody or some mind control stuff on them. Huh. You know, but with the deers, it seemed maybe it's more natural, or maybe it's something that got added into the ecosystem artificially.
Yeah.
That would be an amazingly, like, I just have this picture, like he's talking about this giant green, in my head it's green and like sort of half moths covered thing with like dead eyes. It's like a zombie deer.
They describe them on like the forums and stuff as being like they move really weird. It's sort of like almost like, have you ever seen an animal that's been like hit by a car or something where they're walking like their joints don't work correctly kind of thing?
Uh-huh.
They supposedly move like that, but then their eyes look different somehow. And they're like, more... That would be creepy as hell
if
you were in the woods and came across.
And then they get all aggressive too, which kind of harkens to rabies, you know, in the later stages. So a rabies fungus.
And that's like the, like he mentioned, the legend of the Wendigo with most Native American tribes, I think closer up to around Canada area. They have the concept of the Wendigo, which is a evil spirit that infects humans and turns them into that sort of cannibalistic monster that you could say from a myth telling or psychological standpoint is kind of their you know, warning tale for people during the winter, you know, to keep your shit together and be a good person, or you're gonna end up starting to go crazy thinking for yourself like too much and turning on people and trying to eat them.
It kind of reminds me of the White Walkers from Game of Thrones, too.
Yeah.
Also.
Could be, yeah.
But, yeah, that's, I mean, if you actually took one of those down, and that's a pretty cool story.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that was Eli from Montana. We got one more story. You ready for this one, Freddie?
Yeah. Yeah. Who's this one?
This is going to be Maria from Newport News, Virginia. And the quality of the sound of her phone call isn't quite as good. Plus, I think she's speaking like broken English.
Newport News, is that a place or a
city?
Oh, so News is a city?
Yeah. Newport News, yeah.
Okay.
But I don't think I put any background music to it.
Hope not.
Yeah. Here we go.
Good afternoon. My name is Maria, and I am telling about an event from December 1st, 2023. I live in Newport News, Virginia, and I wonder if anyone else saw anything or had a similar experience around 11 p.m., December 1st, 2023, in Newport News, Virginia. I was sitting on my sofa watching TV, and my boyfriend, he is deployed, so it was only me and our two cats. And as I'm watching TV, the power goes out around 11 p.m. Everything becomes black. There is a bright light that moves through the backyard and through the living room window, much like a light from a helicopter, like a spotlight. But there was no noise, no helicopter sound. Then both of cats act strangely. The smaller kitten, black kitten, runs and hides. And the larger male cat, he sits directly in front of my feet and stares into the living room space as if he is watching things move through the air. He then swat and claw at things that are not there in the air, almost he is protecting me. The next thing I know, waking up in my bed several hours later, and I have no memory of going to my bed, and I was waking up from a very intense dream that only had geometric patterns. That is all that I can remember. Swirling geometric patterns like Aztec. But then my male cat, he is gone. He is no more. And only the kitten remains. And I do not know what happened to my male cat. And I would very much like to know if anyone else had a similar experience. December 1st, 2023, Newport News, Virginia. My name is Maria. Thank you.
So, Freddie, and I did look online for, what was it called? There was, there is a crowdsourced national UFO reporting center where people can report in from all around the world and country, and you can sort of check and see what, and didn't see anything from December 1st, Newport News, Virginia, but Virginia does have a lot of something like almost 100 UFO reports in over the past year. So.
Huh.
So.
Okay. Well, here's what I got from that. It feels to me, and that could be completely wrong, but the, it sounds like we had our first call from ChatGPT.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think Maria is a voiceover of a script, probably AI-written script, you know. So to me, this is what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
This is just the feeling I got. And, you know, yeah. A couple of the words were like the word through were exactly the same from one one sentence to another, the pronunciation of it.
Interesting.
So, hey, it's cool. It's an interesting story. So there was a helicopter with no sound, but then light came through the window.
Well, I don't think she said she saw a helicopter.
No, no.
She
just saw the light as if a helicopter with no sound came through the window. Then one of her two cats started waving at her or sort of
waving in the air. Yeah.
Looking at something somewhere. She then passed out or has no recollection, woke up. Having remembered geometric dreams. This is AI, I think.
Yeah. The geometric dreams part, what struck out to me, struck me about that was when I have done psilocybin before, mm-hmm. mushrooms.
Yeah.
That is, like you can see, definitely geometric patterns.
Yeah, that, no, I've heard that with the, you know, kind of like a kaleidoscope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Type look. Yeah, the stories of DMT and stuff are hilarious.
Yeah.
Have you
yeah.
ever looked up some people describing the elves and who they see?
Yeah.
And they're really, really funny.
But do you think ChatGPT is just calling in
to the show? No. If somebody
that would be awesome
said, "Hey, ChatGPT, why don't you make me a story and then do the voiceover for it?" One of those, like maybe a different program, but hey, it seems I was just listening to the the pentameter. What were the
cadence?
Yeah, the cadence and the spacing of the words was very meticulous and consistent throughout the whole.
But I don't know. That could be somebody just nervous.
She could
trying to. Yeah, get
See, but I didn't get any nerves.
Yeah,
though. That's the thing. Huh. It was very even.
Yeah,
keeled.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I thought she was just trying to speak slowly, and maybe English wasn't her most comfortable language, so she was trying to speak slowly and.
But the speed of the speaking never changed through the.
Yeah.
You know, if you're telling any story, you're going to speed up and slow down. You're going to emphasize one part of versus another part.
Yeah.
And it was very, very even.
Yeah.
Like as if you just, typed it and said, read it. And since.
I gotcha. Yeah.
You know, the voiceover from the AI
is
just going to read it and it's not going to accentuate properly.
Yeah.
You know, in where you would normally a human would accentuate or pause or, the spacing's going to get shorter and further away.
Yeah.
Those things were missing for me in that.
Yeah.
And if not, I'm, really interested in what country, this accent is from because I've never heard it before.
But what about this poor woman if it's right and they kidnapped her cat?
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's missing a cat.
Yeah,
The kitten is still there, black cat is missing.
Yeah, well, I think the kitten was black. She didn't say the color of the bigger cat.
Oh.
The bigger cat was the one that was kind of trying to defend her, and that's the one that, when she woke up, was gone.
Hmm.
You think the cat just said, fuck it, I'm out of here?
This is a lot. Like, okay, so we're backing up to the light through the window, and then did she never go outside to look at anything, or just kind of? And what is the time difference between the light in the window, the cat looking at something but she can't see it and defending her, and then
Then she went to sleep.
Maybe we have to get hope maybe she'll win and we can get her on the phone and start really drilling down onto some of the details of this one, because I'm missing the flow of how this,
All right.
And maybe if she has a mom that she can, I'd like to dive into who Maria is and.
Why do you want to talk to her mom?
I need some backstory. I need some character development.
All right. So Maria's mom, please call in. We will interview you about Maria and her cat. But we don't want to talk to Maria because we think Maria might be ChatGPT.
But either way, entertaining.
Yeah. All right. Well, those are the five calls that we've got for this week so far. Hopefully we'll keep getting more so we can at least get one more episode in before the end of the month, before the voting for January starts. And so definitely like to encourage anybody listening to this to please go into the show notes. You can find a link to the website, yourbesttruestory.com, where the toll-free number is there, as well as a SpeakPipe button, which is a really slick, easy way to get the voicemail sent to us, because literally you're just using your phone. You hit that button, you start recording. When you hit done, it sends it to us. Or if you want to take more time and like the second caller, add some background music.
You did that to him.
You can record it on your own laptop and turn it into an MP3 file and email it to us. That email is in the show notes as well. And so what do you think, Freddie, overall on this first inaugural Your Best True Story?
I like it. I like that we got the first one out so people can get an idea of what's going on and what the show format is like. And I'm excited to hear some of the next version of the stories that come out.
Yeah, and I think as people get into it, start to listen, start to participate, then I think it'll, hopefully draw an audience, a good audience, especially as, remember, you can... even if you don't put in your own story, you can go and vote that first week of every month for, and basically the way that I think about it from my perspective is, since we'll be extending an invitation to that person to come on the show for an interview, whoever wins, is it basically like you're saying, whichever you want to know more about or think is most interesting is probably who you want to vote for. But hopefully people will start, you know, sharing their own episodes to get the votes in as well and that kind of thing.
Nice.
So, all right. So that is it. Thank you, everybody, for listening into this first episode. Hopefully we'll have another one coming out towards the back half of January. And thank you very much. Go to yourbesttruestory.com to learn more and submit your own story. Talk to you next time.
You've got a crazy-ass true story to tell. It could be funny or thrilling or creepy as hell. And when you speak, surely none will make a sound. And the world's going breathless when your true story comes around. Oh, hear the crazy bullshit lying. Just one more, maybe, true story before we're dying. Yet be warned, surely not all stories will be treated the same. So don't blame us if your tale about grandma's cookies is lame. The only way to ensure you could possibly win a buck is to make sure that story of yours don't suck. So instead of yawns, go ahead and tell us how that Bigfoot or werewolf drowned, and then hear the world go breathless when your true story comes around. You'll hear the crazy bullshit flying. Just one more, maybe, true story before we're dying. Yet be warned, surely not all stories will be treated the same.